Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello there and welcome to Today We Learned. My name is Dan Casey. I'm one of your esteemed hosts. Well, as esteemed as I can be by giving myself that appellation. The point is, guys, we have a killer show for you today. And some sad news. Well, sad if you happen to enjoy my voice, which if you don't, it's going to be great news. Because unfortunately, I'm not here for this episode. Just in the beginning. I'm only here, not there. Now and later, that's a candy. Guys, my point is, I miss you. I came by for the intro. It was the least I could do. Quite literally the least. Because, I happen to be traveling a lot lately, and I should be back in town soon. But Razzle is holding down the fort with some truly excellent guests. And today's is no exception. Now, before we get to who we have in store, I just want to remind you guys that you can get my brand new book, 100 Things Star Wars Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It is available now, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Books A Million, wherever fine books are sold. And if you want to get a signed copy, I'm going to be selling that and my Avengers book at Kamikaze, Stan Lee's Kamikaze in Los Angeles, on October 31st. So hopefully I'll see some of you guys there. And if not, I'll cry a single tear like that Native American in that old commercial when he saw someone littering. Do you really want me to cry like that guy in that commercial? He gets residuals. I won't. I'll just get sadness. Residual sadness. But enough about me, guys. Let's get to the reason you tuned in. The podcast. Without further ado, let's put your hands together. You'll see this guy coming up in a little movie called Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension. So here we go. Today We Learn, number 107, with Chris Murray.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Yeah, I always thought if I was going to be a I don't do stand-up comedy, but I would always open for an L.A. audience by saying, I think we should rename the freeways.
Yeah.
Like, the 405 should be, are you fucking kidding me? Really? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, the 105 could be like, this is bullshit. Or like at least Banksy or somebody should do an art project and one day just paste over these things. Yeah. And so everybody could at least have a laugh. And
The I-10. Really?
Really? Wait, get on the I really, then take a right on. Are you fucking kidding me? At 12 o'clock?
Oh, you're going to Sherman Oaks?
Yeah,
perfect. You're gonna take the seriously, guys.
Yeah,
all the way up to the.
So bang your head on the steering wheel. So that I mean, you know, I live in New York half the time, and so I get used to biking around. I'm a big biker, and then this summer. I was biking around one day. I was really tired. I was doing a lot of like things for my apartment, and I left my bike outside. And if you have a decent bike in New York,
and
I even locked it up,
oh, and it's
you know, and there's
locked.
A camera across from it, and that thing was gone. That was one of the signs this summer that said, "Let's go back out to L.A."
Oh,
and then I bought fake concert tickets twice. I
don't know. Are you serious?
Yeah, and they looked so real.
Where'd you buy them off of? Craigslist?
No. Right in front of the venue, and the guys were like sketchy as hell. And
Which venue?
It was Prospect Park, Shell, and I wanted to see Willie Nelson.
Of course.
He was playing with Old Crow Medicine Show, so I got my girlfriend all amped up. I'm like, I'm going to get the tickets, I'm going to get the Thai food, I'm going to get some whiskey, I got the blankets, all you have to do is show up. So I was so like, I was ready. I get there, I see these two guys that just look like they had just robbed somebody, and I was like, they're like, hey man, you want tickets? And I'm like, yeah I do. How much is, can I see them? And they're like, yeah man, they're real, you know, 50. And I was like, 50 seems a little low, but the tickets look real.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like,
card stock and everything.
And then I gave him like $100. I walked 5 feet and I go, hold on, wait. And the guys turn around. I'm like, dude, I think these are fake.
Yeah.
These look fake. And he's like, comes over, he pats me on the shoulder. He's like, they're not fake, man. Trust me. I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you.
Right now,
I'm trusting you. And then I stood in line, and then I just knew they were fake. I was in line. I was like, I got fake tickets. So I spent $100 on fake tickets, and we ended up barely hearing him outside of Prospect Park, Banshell, you know, where there's a fence. So those were two signs. I was like,
so that was the first time you bought fake tickets.
Yeah.
What was the second time?
Governor's Ball, another great place to buy fake tickets. Although we did buy fake tickets, and then some really nice guy just let us in the side gate. So I feel like we bought tickets and we're still let in, even though those tickets were fake.
Yeah.
So that's I don't know. Maybe you get fake tickets in L.A. too, but
That's interesting. I don't know. I've never
buy tickets off Craigslist. You know, really need to have the physical and never the sheet of paper. It's gotten there's a whole game now. And they're so good at copying these things.
Yeah,
that you really have to.
I mean, I feel like had I if the technology for printing and all of that type of stuff was around when I was 18 or 17, I probably would have done that because I was kind of shady and I was kind of a dick back then. But now it's like, I'm leery. Like, I'll try to only get tickets off of StubHub or Ticketmaster.
Right.
I won't buy off of Craigslist. If I do go, it'll be like walking on the way to like outside of the concert here. There are fake tickets, but I'm generally very like, I've been to enough concerts. Not saying you haven't been to concerts.
Just wait till you get a little nerdy guy with glasses who looks like he's like sweaty palms and he's like, you just are like, these are totally legit. Yeah. This guy is so legit. Fake.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's wild. What you do is you take a lighter and you see if the heat changes it black.
Oh, is that right?
Because I know old Ticketmaster tickets, if you left them on your like dashboard or something like that, they would go black because of like the film.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know. Funny. I'll just say this one real quick. College, I was a sophomore. I decided we were all going to go to Cancun with some friends, and I could only wrangle these older upperclassmen. So I did this whole thing online. It was like sort of the new internet, and I got this vacation package to Cancun, included hotel room, flight there, and flight back. And you know, we went down and we partied like MTV style.
Yeah.
And I remember like the night before we're supposed to leave, I look in the packet because I thought all the stuff was in the packet, and I'm kind of like going through it. I'm like, huh. We don't have return plane tickets.
Oh, no.
Back to, I think we flew out of Atlanta. So I'm like, this can't be right, right?
Yeah.
They had to have given us return plane tickets. So we all go to the airport thinking there's some confusion, and they're like, no, you guys don't have tickets. And I'm like, huh, this is a little weird. So I start walking around. I don't know what mind frame I was in. I start walking around like literally looking for tickets in the airport. In Cancun. And honestly, I found a guy who goes, hey, man, you want some tickets?
Airplane tickets. What year is this?
This is probably, I want to say, 99.
99. So still prior to where you could kind of transfer the names and everything.
I have no idea how this is. So I go to the guy, and he goes, come with me. He takes me into a bathroom in the airport, and I give him, like, I don't know, $500 cash. He tells me I need cash. I say, okay, I need four tickets. And he literally just takes out these receipts and writes like four tickets. Like it was like I just bought, you know, something at a thrift shop.
Yeah.
Four tickets on this airplane. And I go, okay, like this is how you guys do it in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then I remember him leaving. And I literally had a second thought. And I chased, he starts running out in the parking lot. And I wasn't, I like picked, there was like a 2x4 for some reason, like a stick that I pick up, and I chase him to his truck. And I'm like, literally, are these real? And he's going, no, they're real, promise.
Yeah.
And they worked.
They worked.
We got on.
Scribbling on a receipt.
We got on the plane and I got back to Atlanta
and
I was just like, I can't believe I just bought airplane tickets in a bathroom. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Right?
Scribble on a receipt.
Anybody else? Has anybody ever bought airplane tickets in a bathroom? I would love somebody to reach out to me.
Yeah, if anybody, ladies and gentlemen, that amazing story you just heard.
It was real. It's true.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
It's true.
How's that sound? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Chris Murray.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, so we're going to start with the highway bit of yours because that's a funny idea.
Well, we haven't started yet.
That's a good start. No. But we're going to we're always rolling, so we'll start the episode there. But those were awesome stories that we just told, and people like that type of stuff. People are into everything. ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Chris, you've seen him on your TV and in a bunch of commercial work and acting and all that stuff. And he has a new movie coming out on October 23rd, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension.
Yeah.
That's our one studio audience member.
That is
we're going to double and layer that and make it sound like we're in a theater here, Chris.
Let's loop that.
We're going to loop that. So, Chris, you currently live in New York.
Currently sort of crashing here.
Crashing here.
Living in New York. Yeah.
Okay, where are you from originally?
Originally from Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Let's dial that up.
Absolutely. How was that living up? How was that?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, I grew up sort of in a pretty rural, small town.
Okay.
Really friendly people. Everybody's really nice and sweet. And I grew up with a twin brother.
Oh, really?
Which a lot
fraternal,
of people,
identical?
Identical twin brother. Okay. So I was kind of already a weirdo right out the gate.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
the way
yeah.
you said I grew up with, I'm like,
well, you
said,
did you
consume
him
in the womb?
No, well, I think I did,
there
actually.
There can be only one.
I was eating a lot of the food in the womb. He was positioned in a strange place. I was ready to come out, and then he was actually born first. My mom had a emergency cesarean section. She couldn't handle the pain. And so my brother popped out, and then I came out second, but I weighed like a full pound and a half more than
he
did.
And you said fraternal, right?
Identical.
Yeah, oh, identical.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
My dad is a fraternal twin.
Okay.
But he had a very similar situation. He came out first, and he almost died because he was his younger brother technically was weighed more and consumed most of the nourishment. So my dad was the first, he's the oldest, but he also almost died because he was like the smallest.
Does your dad still resent his brother for that?
I don't know. They're both kind of, you know, they both have their brothers now. There was a time, I believe, where there was some resentment, only it was because I think it was, you know, and I don't know, he doesn't listen to this, but if he does, oh well, I've heard the story anyways. But it's like a lot of times, like my grandfather, for a lot of years would always introduce my uncle like first, be like, oh, this is my son so and so, and this is Dennis, type of a thing, because like he was always going to like he was always I think got better grades or you know he was taller and all that. And then my dad finally is like, hey, listen, motherfucker, I'm the oldest.
I think there always is like there's always like the golden child. I don't know. You know, there's always maybe one that's sort of twin dynamics are strange. One usually sort of becomes like the leader or the take charge. The other one, but it's not really something.
Was that you or your brother?
You know, maybe we switched. We took turns.
Yeah.
But I would be the guy. We had a lawn care company growing up, and I would be the guy that would be like, okay, I'm going to go collect the money.
Oh, yeah.
And Annie would be like, I'm just going to sit in the car.
You're the muscle.
I was like, I'm going to go get the money.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, it was really interesting growing up in Kentucky, far away from Hollywood. We were real athletic kids. Like, I think my parents just started saying, you guys can pretty much babysit yourselves from, like, the age of 12.
Okay.
So we were kind of left to, like, you know, build forts and ride bikes and play basketball and get in epic, you know, home run derbies. So we very much like Hollywood. And my brother's now a fine arts painter.
Oh, really?
AndrewMurrayArt.com.
Check it out.
AndrewMurrayArt.com. Great painter. He's currently in Austin, Texas, but moving here to do a painting residency.
Oh, wow.
So he's starting to really, really get good. And I have no idea what I was talking about, but
babysitting and doing
so we sort of developed our own language, and my parents weren't like into the arts, and I was performing a lot as a kid and doing like dragging my brother up on stage to tell jokes that were out of a book that I found at the library. And you know, I never even once considered, hey, I could maybe go to New York or LA and be an actor. My parents were just like, you're gonna play soccer, go be a doctor. That's what's going to happen. You're going to go be professional.
Yeah. So you're a soccer player?
I was a soccer player. Yeah. We grew up just playing soccer all the time. And then I played in college. I went to a school called Davidson College.
Yep. In North Carolina.
Yeah. Which is it's a little small liberal arts school. Guy by the name of Stephen Curry went there.
Okay.
Pretty good basketball player.
Okay.
MVP of the NBA.
I've heard of him. There was also
decent.
A dude who went there. I closed it here. But he was I was looking at, there was some of the other like, alumni or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was a dude's name, I can't remember the name, but he was the CEO of a company that just jumped out, and it was from like 89 to 95, and the name of the company was Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, what is this? And it turned out it was like a media. Let me see here. I'm going to look it up here. Davidson College again. It's because I'm like, what is this guy?
It's Knight Rider.
And it's like with two D's, though.
What did they make?
Let's see.
Here. Dildos?
Knight Rider.
Dildos,
Knight Rider,
and sex
dildos.
Swings?
Wouldn't that be a name?
Knight Rider would be a good name for a sex swing, I think.
Yeah, it would.
Like you could get like black lights on it.
List of Davidson people here. Black lights.
Woodrow Wilson went to Davidson.
Really?
And the rumor is he found it too hard. Of course, we elected him president.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But he didn't last long in the presidency, I don't know.
James Batten, Knight, R-I-D-D-E-R.
Okay.
Knight Ritter, Knight Rider, was an American media company specializing in newspaper and internet publishing.
That's a lot more boring than sex.
Yeah, boring. Let's just assume it was... You know, let's just, if anybody knows how to alter Wikipedia, change that company to Sex Swings, please.
So anyway, the whole story is I was kind of like, doing the studies and doing the, but I was just really not into like, I don't know, I just never saw myself doing like something every day in an office, was never part of my vision. And then I went to Madrid to study abroad and, I don't know.
Madrid.
Yeah, I didn't go to sleep. I would stay out all night clubbing. I would go straight to Spanish class, from the night and just kind of realize like, whoa, this is, I don't know what it was about Madrid, but and I also did a Shakespeare play.
Okay. Which play?
In Madrid. Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
Yeah. I played Demetrius.
Okay.
Lover.
In Madrid.
Yeah, in Madrid of all places. And it was just, I was hanging out with these DJ guys and going to these late night techno raves and it sort of just changed the whole kind of course. I don't know what it was about that experience, but I got back to Davidson. I'm like, I'm going to smoke some
becoming
weed.
Becoming a techno artist.
I'm going to be a techno artist. I'm going to do something, grow dreadlocks. This is not. And then I guess I found acting and I was still playing soccer.
Okay.
That's
are you a soccer fan right now?
Love soccer.
Did you go to the USA game that was last week?
No. I didn't.
No?
No, but I
they played Spain, or they played Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, we got
Mexico,
yeah. I was actually at a wedding.
Mexico?
I was at a wedding in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay,
so they played on Saturday night, and I was at I was at a wedding.
Okay,
in Palm Springs.
Goddamn weddings interfering with sports.
Well, yeah, I'm still kind of in recovery.
Yeah,
that was a big one.
Big wedding.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Lexington apparently is. This is I don't know if for the listeners outside of the United States. If there's one in your area, let me know this. But according to Wikipedia, as usual, Lexington is known as the horse capital of the world.
Sure is.
Yeah? Can you ride horses?
I can ride them.
Is the Ghost in Paranormal Activity 5 a horse? It's 5, right? Paranormal Activity.
Well,
I think it's the
fifth
one.
Of this
series.
This series, yeah.
Yeah. Is it the Ghost of... Seabiscuit.
Yes.
The Ghost Dimension.
He does ride in on a horse.
The Ghost Dimension could be a horse's name.
Yeah.
In like the Kentucky Derby.
Well, they actually, it could be a great horse name.
It could be.
But actually, yeah.
TM
the camera,
for all you.
The camera that I looked
there.
Through actually sees into an old haunted horse stable.
There's a camera.
We're just like.
It's a horse photographer.
It's a dimension into an old haunted Lexington horse stable.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of jockeys haunting and moving all the things. The whole thing, if you've ever seen any Paranormal Activity, like things get moved around, but in this one, since it takes place in a horse stable, things only get moved around that are lower than 4 feet.
Right.
Because it's jockey ghosts.
It's super, but yeah, it's very weird, but I think, the formula's there.
Hey,
it's going to blow people away.
It's huge. Huge niche in that horseback riding community.
Yeah, so Lexington is really small, pretty conservative, actually.
Okay.
But it's known for Kentucky, essentially the surrounding area, is known for horses, bourbon, tobacco, and I guess they grow a ton of weed there, too. Maybe not in Lexington, but in the mountains. So it's a small town, probably 380-some thousand people. And most people just – they stick around. They don't bounce out.
They stick.
They stick.
They
stay. Easy living. And even like I think Steve Zahn lives in Lexington, I think like Soderbergh has a house there.
Okay.
There's some like big, really nice horse farms there where people like to kind of
just hang out,
escape
from LA,
and hang out.
It's a good movie.
Yeah,
I like New York better, but
Escape from LA. Yeah.
I thought
Kurt
he
Russell,
was dead.
So good.
Kurt Russell's so good, dude.
So good.
He's so good. He needs to be in more things. He's in that new Hateful Eight movie.
Oh, he is.
That new Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
He and Josh Brolin could kind of be brothers, or like,
yeah, dude,
or like,
Josh Brolin's good too.
Could be his dad.
No, I think they're the same age.
They're about the same age.
Maybe James Brolin.
We haven't seen Kurt in a while.
We haven't seen Kurt in a minute.
Let's get out. Come on, man.
Come on, Kurt. Start doing things.
I'd love to do a role.
Keaton's coming back out.
Kurt,
come back out.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be Kurt's son. You could be a good. You could be like a like if you shaved and you grew your hair shaggy.
Yeah.
You could kind of be like a young. Like if there was like a flashback, Kurt Russell, like if there was an origin to how Snake Plissken lost his eye,
oh, yeah?
You could be that guy.
Okay.
But it's like a really boring story, though. It's like he opened the door and like
there I am.
The thing, something hit him in the eye.
Yeah.
It's not like a really fun story. So it's just a chintzy flashback. But you could be Kurt Russell.
I always get like
hold on, cover up your eye with your hand. Yeah. Boom. There, I'm sold.
Yeah. I can't see it, but I can feel it.
You look just like Kurt Russell.
I always get young Kevin Costner.
Oh, I could see that.
Can you see that?
Can you do a horrible British accent and say, I'm Robin of Locksley?
I'm Robin of Locksley.
Boom, there we go.
Yeah. I've come for your...
That's a good movie.
It really is.
People shit on Prince of Thieves, but it's a good thing.
And the Bryan Adams soundtrack?
Yeah. Oh, we
is
got
that
it.
Not the best?
It was so good.
When he's like actually doing the video in Nottingham Forest?
Yo, at the end of the VHS that was always playing?
Oh, killer.
Sold.
Yeah.
Madrid... the population of the city is almost 3.2 million people. Did you meet all those people, or you just met some of them?
Yeah, I met quite a few of them.
Quite a few of them?
Didn't meet all of them. Interesting things that happened to me in Madrid.
Yes.
Some guy pickpocketed me in the subway, and it was the one where two doors opened at the same time.
Okay.
And I caught his hand and knocked him out, like literally punched him out of the other side of the door and got my wallet.
Okay.
While I had a backpack on.
Oh, shit.
Like, it was an awesome move.
Yeah.
I don't know who saw it.
Hopefully somebody
but,
did.
But that happened to me in Madrid.
Did he hit the third rail? Then he died.
No.
And that's why
platform.
You got kicked out.
He just kind of went down, and, yeah. And I wanted to kind of give him some more, but yeah. I had my wallet, so I figured.
That's enough. That's wild.
Cool. Yeah. Wild things happen when you're...
When you're overseas.
I don't know if it's like this anymore, but if you walk in downtown Madrid in the Sol district, you literally just, you have to put your wallet here because they will just like come up to you and be like, hey, check out this.
Yeah. And then someone
spoon. Yeah. And you're like, hey, cool spoon. And then all of a sudden your wallet's
cool
gone.
Spoon.
And they're like, how the fuck?
Hey, do you like spoons?
Yeah. They're like,
come check out this spoon.
Do you like, pan con tomate? You like- and you're like, yeah, but where the fuck's my wallet, man?
I used to wear a wallet. In high school and even my early 20s. And it got thicker, you know, with shit and money and all that. And then the older I got, the more I sat down and the more I just got older. I'm like, fuck this. So I switched to a money clip.
Oh, you did.
And I keep it in my front pocket now just because of people do in bigger cities steal things. And this way when I sit down,
you don't.
My ass can sit down as evenly as possible without
fucking your hip,
without messing up my hip.
See, look at that bad
holy
boy.
Cow, yeah. See, my money clip is like a third of that.
Yeah, this thing
what kind of CVS receipts do you got in there?
Well, this is a
how
funny...
How many cards do you need?
This is a funny... Okay. My girlfriend...
he's got a spoon from Spain.
Made me write... This is funny. She made me write an abundance check.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have girlfriends that are into like the stars and like...
Oh, no. Tell us about this.
Astrology.
Nope.
But one day she just texts me. She goes, Chris... Have you written an abundance check lately? And I'm like, I've never heard of that. And she just sent me what to do. And so I guess you're not supposed to put a number on it.
Okay.
But I was like, fuck it. If I'm going to do an abundance check, let's just go big.
Okay.
Right? So I go, it's paid in full to myself,
okay.
Chris Murray, for $20,000.
Okay.
So that's what I want. And the date is now.
Okay.
And I don't sign my name. I sign it to the law of abundance.
And what does that mean? And she told you to do
look
all
it
this?
Up on Wikipedia. I guess there's this universal. I guess it's like the secret, you know. And if you dial in to this law of abundance, if you think in scarcity terms, you will get scarcity. But if you think abundantly, like this will be the most listened to podcast ever. Then it will. You know, you'll get everything, right. And you'll get big sponsorship deals.
So we think that.
It won't just be Geyser and Arrowhead anymore, Springwater. You'll start getting...
The table shows the abundance of elements in Earth's crust.
Okay, so maybe Wikipedia's... It's a hippie thing. Anyway,
I like it.
That's in my wallet.
Okay. It's a really thick check, guys, if you wonder why his wallet's so thick. It's like it's on 18,000 point paper cardstock.
Yeah, this thing will give you like hip dysplasia if you ride in your car long enough with it. So
Madrid, real quick, is the third largest city in the European Union after London and Berlin. And its metropolitan area is third largest in the European Union also after Paris and London.
Yeah. Mm. So there's the thing.
Yeah, it was super cool. I really liked Madrid. Traveled around a bunch, you know, really kind of went to Ibiza.
Okay.
With a lot of things I shouldn't have gone there with.
Ibiza. Now, if I quote Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight Rises, it's Ibiza.
It is Ibiza. Hey, we're going to Ibiza.
Ibiza. It's like the other day, or maybe a few months ago, I tweeted something along the lines of, is it pronounced Pitha?
Yeah, Pitha.
Pitha. I like pepperoni pizza, please.
When I got pissed in Madrid, I would always make fun of that accent in English because everything is like a thete.
So weird.
You want to do the rest of the accent?
Let's do it like this.
With this accent?
Can we do it like this? Aristotle, can we do that?
Pan con tomate, please.
So your publicist tells me you like surfing.
Yeah, I did. I really do. I like surfing.
You like surfing? Have you been surfing out this way? Or where's the coolest place you've been surfing?
I've surfed all over, really. Ecuador was cool.
Okay.
I've surfed in Mexico, Baja. I've surfed Costa Rica, both sides. California, obviously, a lot. Surfed New York City.
Okay. New York City, you can surf?
Yeah, Rockaway Beach.
Yeah?
Rockaway Beach and out in Montauk.
Is that is there a high school? Is that the name, Rockaway? Is that where that song comes from?
The Ramones?
I
think it's. Is it about a high school?
I don't know. Rockaway?
Rockaway
it's
Beach.
Rockaway High. Isn't it Rockaway High
it's
School?
It's like Rockaway Beach.
No? Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Boom. Rockaway Beach. I should have known that.
They're singing about.
I feel like they got a Rockaway song, though.
They have Rockaway Beach, yeah.
Yeah, that's their song, right?
Yeah, it's Ramones.
So I confused my Ramones. Like, don't listen. It's I know my Ramones tunes. I was just thinking of a different song.
We'll just edit that out of the podcast.
Something to Believe In is probably my favorite Ramones song.
Is it?
You ever hear that song?
I think I have. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good tune. Really good video. here's a couple things about surfing. The surfing is the according to a few different things here. The riding of waves has likely existed since humans began swimming in the ocean. In this sense, body surfing is the oldest type of wave catching. Standing up on what is now called a surfboard is a relatively recent innovation developed by the Polynesians. Now, this is what, like, I always heard Polynesians and Polynesia and all that, but I never really knew exactly. I mean, maybe I did and I just forgot.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually primarily. For instance, according to Wikipedia, the term Polynesia was first used in 1756 by French writer Charles de Brosse and originally applied to all of the islands of the Pacific. So there's it's a subregion of Oceania made up of over 1,000 islands, including like Hawaii and all of that type of all of that there.
And that's where that's definitely where it was
where
invented.
Surfing was kind of invented. Yeah. And the
wooden planks.
Yeah, wooden planks. And then that's interesting that you bring that up too, that you know that as a surfer, you should in theory. The native peoples of the Pacific, for instance, surf waves on what is known as Alaia boards. And it is a thin, round-nosed, square-tailed surfboard.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like the old-school kind of fish-tailed skateboards, only with they were square end. And check this out. They were between 7 to 12 feet long.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried surfing on one of those?
That's what I surf. That's all I surf.
Really?
Yeah.
So you surf on like the old school. You don't surf on these trick things.
I got three of those on my car right now. No. I surf on various different
Have boards. You surfed on one of these giant boards?
I haven't.
No?
No, I don't. I think they're pretty rare, maybe.
Yeah.
Or you would
get a 12-foot plank and round up the nose.
Just get some guy to shave it down for you.
That's wild, yeah. They weighed up to 100 pounds.
Yeah. They're it's
that's why like the Samoans are like huge,
jacked.
Dude.
Yeah. And they would also they surf big waves on those things.
Yeah. That's where the major waves are, is like way out
in
Fiji. The ocean.
Tiwapo,
so
bro.
Dude. No thanks. That's so dangerous.
I just really love surf culture. Like I always had this idea of a podcast called Swell Talk.
Okay.
Where you get like three bros. Maybe talking about Just all the lingo. The lingo is killer to me.
That's
like it's like, man, it's crunching. You get pinned on the inside, and you get thwacked,
and you
then,
have. You layer ocean like sounds like the sleep the sounds that yeah. put you to sleep. You just get ocean sounds in the background, so it sounds yeah. like you're on the
bro. It's in north northwest. We're gonna have to hit the jetty because it's like it's only Point Break. Yeah, bro. We should get to Fiji soon, man. You see that swell coming off the bear,
bro, like, dude.
It's great. Yeah. I was just at my buddies bro, in Ocean Beach, and they're all surfers. And I woke up literally yeah. to this in the kitchen. They were all gonna go out surfing, and it was just like bro talk. It was swell talk.
Swell talk. Swell talk. I was at a birthday party over the weekend, and somehow we got talking about it. Because, oh, I started – so, like, I say bro a lot now.
Yeah.
But I started saying it as a joke, like, ironically, and now I can't stop.
Can't stop.
So, like, I'll start things out. I'll just be like, bro. And it's like – I'm joking, and I don't want to say it, but I still regret it, and I'm yeah. trying to stop. But it's just – it's like dad jokes. Like, I feel like dad jokes started as young adults – saying it like I'm not a dad and I say dad jokes to be facetious.
Right.
But once I have a kid, I'm going to start like you forget. You say it so long.
Yeah, you are the
you become you start to say the ironic you start to say what you started ironically.
Right.
Logistic like it's legitimate. In reality.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I totally talk. And, I totally talk like a surfer, even yeah. though I'm from Kentucky. People are yeah. like, where are you from?
You seem like more like a surfer.
Where are
than
you
like
from
a-
in Cali, bro? Yeah, I'm like, I'm actually dude. From Lexington, Kentucky. With zero. I wakeboarded. Yeah. You know, I water skied, but yeah, I don't know where this comes from.
Yeah,
it's just
acting. You like acting, and then all of a sudden you just
they're like, we need to
throw on the drawl.
Yeah, we need a surfer. We need a pothead. It's called Chris Murray. He's perfect.
I was at the birthday party, and I started saying bro as a joke, you know, like I was telling them this, and then we got talking about how did we get talking about it? Oh, we were talking about how like just the say weird things,
mm-hmm.
like if people ask what you do or whatever, come up with these weird jobs or whatever, or like to insert things in conversation, like if you've ever been in medieval times, there's a dude whose job is to be the king. And he just sits there and eats, and like he'll introduce like the thing at the beginning, and that's it. Like he just his job is just act there and thing. And then we were like, oh, just enter, just be like, oh yeah, I'm the king at medieval times. We're like, oh, I'm the king. And then another thing we thought would be funny.
If they're casting. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I could parlay Paranormal Activity into the king of medieval times. But I might be too young.
You might be
or
too
I'd
young.
Be the young king.
You're too thin because like a lot of those
too,
kings
yeah.
are like stout kings.
They would never. Like, wouldn't that be cool if they cast like a young kid, like
they should.
Like Joffrey from Game
yeah.
of Thrones. Like just cast him.
It would make more sense than these giant overweight like kings who like clearly don't fight in battles. Like they would lose, bro.
Yeah, they're always dead. In that time they were dead by then anyway.
Absolutely.
You don't
Heart
live
attacks,
past like
you
45 if
no
you're
way.
A king.
And another thing we got talking about is like just in nonchalantly in conversation, just say something about getting cursed or I can't go over there. Like an old lady cursed me one time. I was there.
yeah.
Like what? And just like
yeah.
gloss over it like it's not a thing. So
yeah.
then people are like, hold on.
I'm scared
you're
of
you're cursed? like and then that got into talking like, what if there was like a voodoo bro, like bro do bros, or like, bro, I curse you, bro, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, what? You guys must have had some really good home ground, huh?
Yeah, I don't. It was they were drinking. I'm sober town. So
oh, you are.
Yeah, I've never done
okay.
anything. So my brain just
never
is
ever
very weird. Never ever ever.
Never ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Did you grow up really religiously?
It
just wasn't your thing.
It was both. It was that and
yeah.
not my thing.
Okay.
But it was you know all my friends and you know my brother smoke. My brother drinks. He drinks. He smokes cigars. None of my family, I don't think, does like weed. But they're all in Michigan, so it's just getting legalized.
Yeah,
like, had it been legalized for a while, they probably would. Maybe
you sound like you're from Michigan. I have some of my family's from Michigan.
Okay,
yeah, Ionia.
Yeah, I know where
like
Ionia
middle
is.
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had my grandparents had a little cottage on this little small lake, not the big Crystal Lake, but the small Crystal Lake. And it's still in the family, and we still go up there, and that's where I learned to water ski, and
yeah.
it was cool. A little,
yeah, there's
little,
some great lakes there. I mean,
great lakes there, yeah. I mean, I like
pun
the
intended,
smaller
but,
ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was like really rural, and
yeah.
there's no jobs anymore in Michigan.
There's not a lot.
I don't
mean, Grand Rapids has a lot, but that's it. It's about it.
And yeah, I got cousins in Grand Rapids, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really fun. The here's the thing.
Super fun.
Paranormal Activity,
yeah,
is a horror movie of sorts. Would you call it a horror movie?
I would call it a.
It's
yeah,
and incites scares.
Yes,
I like it. The first depictions of supernatural events appear in several of the silent shorts created by film pioneer Jorge Mele, or however you want to. It's Georges Méliès.
Listen, George. I can't pronounce words. Can you pronounce? You've been to Spain.
Where is
can you pronounce that guy right there? What's that guy's name?
Georges Mielis.
Yeah, there we go.
Georges Mielis.
One of us is smart today.
Because I smoked a lot of pot, drank a lot, and you didn't.
You know, they say it broadens your mind.
Yes, it does.
Long story short, the first horror movie came out in the 1890s, and it's known as the Cave of the Unholy One, also known as the another of his horror ones. It's the where am I looking here? I had it pulled up. The Haunted Castle, 1896, is known as the first horror movie. The devil has to deal with the devil and various attendant phantoms.
How long was that movie?
It was a few minutes. It was a short film.
Okay.
It running time 60 meters.
The film is didn't get into any festivals.
Its running time of over 3 minutes was ambitious for its era. So a 3 minute film was long back then in the 1896. It didn't get into like
it was like a feature. It was a feature. Yeah.
the Toronto film, the TFF.
Yeah, they would not accept it. Yeah. Now.
In 1910, here's something. The first film version of Frankenstein, following the 1908 film adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, was done by Edison Studios in 1910. So the very first Frankenstein movie film version of it ever made was in 1910.
Interesting.
Do you like Frankenstein?
Huge
Frankenstein.
Huge Frankenstein, yeah.
What was it like working on Paranormal Activity?
It was awesome. You know, it was strange because it's a, you know, it's a found footage movie,
yeah.
Which I've never, you know, I'm always usually kind of, you know, the camera's here and I'm doing a scene and it finds you,
yeah.
You know, but a lot of this movie, you have the camera and you're acting with the camera. So you're actually shooting the movie,
okay.
A lot of it, and you're also acting vocally and then, you know, it flip flops. Other people hold the camera, but I thought it was a comedy at first.
Okay,
like the first audition, it was.
You haven't heard of Paranormal Activity?
Well, no,
two,
that's
three,
not. They didn't go, hey, you have an audition for Paranormal. They go, you have an audition for Cheeseburger.
Okay, because I was reading, and this was like, also when did this film? When did you film this?
It was like started in August of 2014.
Oh, really? Okay, because I was reading, and it said like it was supposed to be released in 2013 or something like that. So
it was.
Maybe,
it was delayed a bunch, but I remember. So I went in for Cheeseburger, and there was some, you know, some lines, and the director's like super energetic. He's like, just be funny, do your thing, and I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. This is I used to do a lot of improv, and okay. I'm very comfortable just going off the cuff. And he showed me a video of his two kids. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And he goes, just interact with the video, and he's just filming me. And as you do, I just started making fun of his kids.
Of course.
And he was like, he's like, those are my kids, Chris. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me. I didn't mean any of that. I was just improvising, you know. And so, yeah, I thought Cheeseburger was a comedy. And then as I got deeper in the process, they go, Cheeseburger is actually Paranormal Activity, the ghost dimension. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd seen one.
Yeah.
But I kind of, I'm more into serious film.
Yeah.
You know? So so that was interesting. So, and then I knew it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
And the guy who plays my brother, Dan Gill, is a stand-up comedian, and we play brothers in the thing. Actually, the first 30 minutes of the film are actually quite funny. And Dan kind of plays the idiot younger brother, and I play the serious older brother, Dad.
So it's like a BuzzFeed article. You thought you were eating a cheeseburger, but you won't believe what happens next.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
That's amazing.
And so we were having a lot of fun, and then, you know, the director's like, Chris, it's, you know, it's a horror movie. I go, okay, yeah. Okay, we'll be scared. So I was like, you know.
That'd be my problem, is I'd have too much fun.
I wanted to be goofy and cracked. When you're in a room with another comedian, all you're doing is just trying to crack jokes.
Yeah.
So, and that particular scene where I was told I need to be a little more scared was we were both really stoned in the movie.
In the movie.
So I was confused. I'm like, okay.
So in the movie, you're doing drugs.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, I was like, I thought we were really stoned.
Yeah.
You're like, no, but you're scared and stoned. It's a scared stoned. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, got it. Good. Thank you. So that was fun. Yeah, it's a wild ride. Like we shot for a long time.
Okay.
So we shot a lot, and then most of that we shot, they were like, we're going in a new direction. So it's the way they make the movie is very sort of, they'll go on a little ride off in a tangent, they'll find something there and they'll move it back here, and then you'll go back and reshoot. Yeah. So it was actually quite a lot of shooting.
Oh wow, okay.
So almost a whole year on and off.
Was there like practical effect? Like, does stuff get moved around while you're on, like, you see stuff actually get moved around, or is that mostly added in after?
No, there was lots of practical effects. I think the special effects guy did a bunch of, I think he did Ghostbusters and maybe Goonies. I don't know. He was like he's a badass in special effects. So he had the whole place tripped and rigged. None of the lights worked. It was all on a control board. So when you go in to shoot this movie, it's like 8 a.m. on your day, and you are working in a dark house the whole night that is completely rigged and none of the lights work.
Okay.
You know, so it's dark.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Now this is interesting. Now, so you read, they had a script.
Yeah.
Like, eventually. That was a question mark. They had a script eventually.
Eventually.
But they had, so did they prepare these ideas for these practical effects and these set pieces? Were you aware of them, most of them, or did they want you to be actually surprised at some of the
well, yes, goings on? Some of them were a little bit, they wanted them to be a surprise, but some of the bigger ones where things were like flying off the wall and, you know, the bed's moving you know, somebody gets sucked up. Like, if you do one take of that, you pretty much know what's going to happen. Plus, they're like, hey, this is going to fly off the wall.
Yeah.
So just watch know that. And there was shit flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Constantly. Like, as you shoot the movie, once you start get sort of the last, you know, couple pages when the shit hits the fan. Yeah, those were like just crazy. We shot so many versions of that crazy. It was wild. Like, there was, you know, we shot multiple endings and multiple different sort of grand finale scenes.
Okay.
That
never made it.
But I got to say, what does make it in, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
It makes sense. Yeah. And it was cool. There was shit flying everywhere, too, for that one, too.
For the finale?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check it out. I have yet to see a Paranormal Activity movie.
Have you? I got to say, I was sort of the same way until I got the job. And, I saw, you know, most. I saw all of them, and they're like, it's like
that one.
They're
exploded,
scary, man.
Dude. I'm going to watch this one, but maybe I should watch one because I feel like one exploded like popularity wise.
Yeah, they made it for like $8, and it made.
Have
like,
you seen any Aristotle? You've seen them all, and you like them all.
They're like truly terrifying. I started watching them by myself in my hotel room, and I was just like, man, fuck this. Why am I doing this right now? It's like 10 at night, and I'm like, I'm going to turn it. I'm going to hit pause. Yeah. I'm going to go outside, do something. I'm going to come back. I'll hit play. But yeah, it's like a ride. It's like a roller coaster. It's just always making you kind of feel uncomfortable. And I think where this one's really successful is you get this really cool family, really funny, you know, it's like Christmas time. It's this super cute, my daughter, Ivy George, great little actress. You really fall in love with the family. And then all of a sudden, like I find this really rad camera and this camera just sees all this crazy shit. And if you go to see it in 3D, which I highly recommend in IMAX, all this stuff that I see through the camera is like literally coming at you in the three-dimensional space, and it's just wild as all of it sort of gets bigger and bigger, and it gets wild.
That's fun. October 23rd.
You'll be scared. Go with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, so you have something to hold on to.
Yeah, and Paranormal Activity comes out on October 23rd in Real D, 3D, and 3D. Does that?
I always cut a hole in the popcorn box.
You did voiceover work. You've done a few voices on some Grand Theft Auto.
Oh yeah,
video
games. That doesn't even scratch the surface.
Yeah,
it's the only one that IMB comes up with.
Okay,
I was the voice of Silent Library, a game show on MTV.
Really?
Yeah. Coming up next on Silent Library.
That was you.
Jenny takes the chicken wing challenge.
Is that the first time she took the chicken wing challenge?
I don't know. I'm just making that up. I don't remember the actual script. Yeah. But I did Silent Library. I was the voice of...
you do that really good. Can you say, coming up next on Today We Learned?
Coming up next on Today We Learned, Like Chris that. Murray from Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension, stops by for a studio visit.
I like that.
But I did like this this thing called the Dew Tour.
Okay.
I'd be like, Sean White rocks the ramps in Cleveland for the Dew Tour. You know, I did like a lot of promo work for that. And then I did, you know, I've done like Snapple. I've done Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I've done, I was the voice of Amped Mobile, which was this ill-fated like TV TV on your phone. It was like they were kind of beating Apple to TV on phones, and then they couldn't figure it out, and Apple beat them. That was Have the Power to Entertain Yourself. Amped Mobile. Now get unlimited anytime minutes for $49.99 when you sign up for Amped Overload. So, yeah.
That's great.
So,
can you say there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's?
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Boom, I'm solved. Where no, do I give you my money to get a Reese's?
Yeah, so I've done probably, I would say, like, maybe 100 commercials and voiceover and some game shows and some of that stuff. And then I was like a seance caller in Grand Theft Auto, and that's what comes up on
IMDb. Have you played any of the Grand Theft Autos? Are you a video gamer?
I'm not a gamer, dude. Yeah.
What's the last game you played?
Oh, God. It was like EA Sports, NHL, hockey. And then if my brother won, we would just... It was a fist fight in the basement.
That was... And that's what you played when you were a kid?
I played them when I was kids. I think the last thing I had was a Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And I just never moved on from Sega Genesis. I was more into books and poetry and like bed and chicks.
Poetry.
Like I just wasn't into. Yeah. Hey, let's go read this poem real quick in my bed. I never. I just kind of. And then I tried to play. I had a roommate here in LA a couple years ago, and the guy just demolished me in FIFA soccer. And I was like, if I just took you on the field right now, bro, I would fucking destroy you in soccer. Yes, you can beat me 11-0 in FIFA, but let's go across the street to the park and let me actually play soccer. So anyway, that's my video game.
The last system I bought for myself was the Nintendo 64.
Okay, so you're...
I've bought in every other system since then, but that was always... in line with my friends waiting to buy theirs, and then I would just sell it. I would just sell my place in line.
Okay.
I was one of those opportunists. So then I haven't
so
done
you
that
still
in a
while. Play?
No, I haven't played a video game in... I haven't. The last system I bought for myself was a 64. I don't own any systems. I've never owned. My roommates have owned things. I've played three video games in the last maybe 8 years, and those were all within a year, and those I played straight through, and that was, I mentioned, as the audience knows, Portal 2, Batman Arkham City, and Batman Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
I played those straight through, but those are the only really games I've
Yeah, played. I wish I could extrapolate on a video game.
I've not played a Grand Theft Auto game, but I remember when Grand Theft Auto originally came out, and I got some facts about that for one, but I remember when it came out, my cousin had it, and it was, they originally, first off, the game was originally intended to be named Race and Chase.
Yeah.
Can you imagine playing that? Race and Chase Vice. Oh, here we go. You're the voiceover work. Coming up next on Race and Chase Vice City.
Coming up next on Race and Chase Vice City. Yeah. We get a look into...
Ladies and gentlemen, next week, Race and Chase San Andreas.
You know, the thing is I'm putting on this voiceover voice, but now all they want you to do is like, come to Wendy's, get a cheeseburger.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. If you're like, come on to Wendy's, get a cheeseburger, they're like, nah, not getting the job. Overacting.
Originally called Race and Chase and was nearly canceled due to production issues. It was first released in Europe and North America in October 1997 for DOS and Microsoft Windows. And that's the one, the original Grand Theft Auto was like a top view, I remember, and my cousin had it for Microsoft Windows. And I remember thinking, oh, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's this. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden, it's like the hugest thing on on PlayStation. It was later released on PlayStation. And in the original game, Grand Theft Auto in 1997, it takes place in three primary settings, all of which are modeled on real locales, which eventually became these major video games. So, like, San Andreas is based on California and Nevada, Vice City is based on Miami, and Liberty City is based off of New York. And those three cities are all in smaller locales than the 1997 original Grand Theft Auto, but
they've continued using that formula in those locations for these major games go on to break records.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm driving the PCH at night, I'm like in Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
Or there's some video game that just pretty much copied that road.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it was.
Cruising USA, maybe
Cruising
was it like
USA.
An old
I'm
video
like,
game?
I just always feel like I'm in Cruising USA.
Yeah, with the palm trees.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. When I'm on the PCH, but
yeah, you got the beach. Yeah,
yeah.
I've always liked.
You can't pull over and beat a cop, but
no.
Like you know,
that's the thing is like I grew up with those arcade games, those Cruising arcade games.
Yeah, I like
as
those
a kid.
Too. I like those,
and like the Commodore 64, those types of games where like California. Olympics or stuff like that. And it always gave me this vibe of California that when I moved here, I mean, granted, maybe you go to San Diego and Hermosa Beach and there's
totally
like
shattered
that type
vibe.
Of things, but like the roads that are in Cruising USA where it's just like like beach on both sides and
right.
like palm trees and like
no traffic.
It's like, what is it?
Everybody's happy.
Oil spills, you need to maneuver.
Yeah.
And there's none of that.
Yeah, no, there's none of that anymore, is there?
No.
Now it's just a fitful of rage.
Fitful of rage.
Crazy combinations of cuss words.
Did you have? Were you into any like cartoons as a kid, or like anything like that? What TV shows did you like as a kid?
I really liked DuckTales.
Okay.
For some odd reason, DuckTales really stuck with me. And what else did I really like? I like Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo, DuckTales. Like, religiously watched DuckTales when I got home from...
How old are you?
I'm in my 30s.
I'm 33.
Okay, I'm a little older.
A little older.
Yeah, but not much.
Like 35, 36?
Yeah, right around
37,
there.
37, 38, 39.
47.
It's all the same. And, yeah, DuckTales was after school.
For some reason, that was... And, like, I'm drawing a blank on my other favorite. I like Steve Urkel.
Okay.
Family Matters. So I like Family Matters. For some reason, he kind of made me laugh.
Did you ever have any lunch boxes with anything on it?
I think I had DuckTales. I had a couple Star Wars.
Yeah.
I was into Star Wars too,
not like you see guys today.
Yeah. I don't wear the Star Wars shirts, but I'm still like.
Oh, I got to show you this video real quick. Let me see here. It was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Maybe yesterday. And it's less than 10 seconds, so the song we're not going to need to pay George Lucas for because I edited onto it.
Okay.
But I was driving. I went out of my way to get a good view of this because he was
almost
in front of me.
You almost wrecked. Yeah.
It's a dude's car made up to look like a TIE fighter.
Oh, that's badass.
And, like, there's a droid, like, if you look at the beginning of it.
Is that, like, a Maserati?
I don't know. Maybe. But like there's a droid even in the like in the back, like in the back window there's a droid.
That's incredible.
But some dudes are like really into it.
Yeah. I wonder that's like custom paint job.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's not,
it looks
that's
like
not
shit
factory
too. It's like,
direct.
Like it looks like shit because it's like the TIE fighter's all beat up and like dirty. And it's like, come on, you're a jet, like you're a rebel, like you want the Empire to take you serious.
He needs like
some
tails on the back. He needs to put that into relief.
Put some wings on.
Yeah, he needs some three dimensions. He needs some paranormal. He needs some ghost dimension on that thing.
The I had a few lunch boxes. I feel like I had a He-Man one, or my brother had a He-Man one. I feel like I had a Care Bear one, or like a Batman one at some point. But the very first lunch box. With some form of like child artwork on it for kids was in 1935. Guder and Patch and Frey produced the first licensed character lunchbox, and that was with Mickey Mouse. It was a lithographed oval tin with a pull-out tray inside, and it didn't have the vacuum bottle, but it did have a handle on the thing, and that was in 1935. But then in 1950. It's interesting that you mentioned Star Wars because this is what made me think of this on the way to here. I was listening to another podcast. In 1950, Aladdin Industries created the first children's lunchbox based on a television show. The Hopalong Cassidy was the name of the show. It was the Hopalong Cassidy Lunch Kit, or Hoppy, and it quickly became Aladdin's cash cow, debuting in time for back to school in 1950. They would sell over 600,000 units of this lunchbox on the first year alone at $2.39 a piece. Now, what's interesting about that is Aladdin was made the first one based off of the kids show. And I was listening to a podcast called The Mystery Show, and they go in to talk about they were trying to debunk like a reason for a Welcome Back Kotter lunchbox that Aladdin made. Huh. And they had one of the artists that worked for Aladdin did a ton of them. Like they did E.T., they did Dukes of Hazzard, they did The Bionic Woman, and they did a bunch of like famous they did Star Trek. They did a bunch of lunchboxes and painted artworks, original artworks of lunchboxes. They famously, and they mentioned on the show, on the podcast I was listening to, the Star Trek lunchboxes for some reason didn't do too well for them, and some of their space ones didn't do too well. So they turned down the Star Trek rights to lunchboxes.
Oh, man.
And Thermos ended up making the Star Trek, the Star Wars. Thermos made the Star Wars lunchboxes, and they just sold so many of them.
I think we should, I honestly think we should go back to lunchboxes. You know, you got all these restaurants now. There's so much. I'm going to get on like a little environmental tip. And wouldn't it be cool if everybody just had like a little plate, like built-in sort of thing, and you just showed up at the restaurant, you gave them your lunchbox, and they filled it up with food, and then you didn't have to throw away the bag and the whole container and all the plastic forks and stuff.
And then you'd have to buy the lunchbox. There's all this metal or plastic.
I don't know how we're going to do it, and I don't know what to put on them.
I'll tell you, though.
I would put, like...
In a town like this...
It would kill, dude.
Like in Silver Lake.
We'd make little wooden boxes, like bespoke, and they all fold up. They're out of bamboo.
Boom. Like, here's an idea. TM for the audience. You don't even need people to bring it. Just call it like the cafeteria and have it be like a rotating menu of foods.
And you
like cafeterias. Like, each day is a different thing or whatever. If you don't like, I mean, I don't know how that would work if people like, or you have like, five different things you can, I don't know, but instead of like you give it, you the like Chipotle, how you get like the bowl or whatever, you'd get your stuff in a lunchbox, and it would be various old lunchboxes,
and you could use them,
but then you'd return them.
You would return them,
because that would be a lot of, I mean, you'd have to just, well, you'd see, be printing, I don't know,
we have different models, itchy, I like your model, but maybe if we all,
because then you'd have to go to. You'd have to take your lunchboxes. I can't even remember to take.
You have to clean it too.
Yeah, I can't even remember to take a reusable bag to the grocery because they
I can't
charge
either.
You for
That's
bags.
Really hard. It's really hard to do that. You're like, I'm going to the grocery. I have 1,000 reusable bags sitting right next to my refrigerator in the wall.
And I forget to take them.
I forget that thing every time.
Yeah, every time.
They should have a reminder, you know, on your way out of the grocery that says, "Remember next time to bring your reusable bag."
Yeah.
It just plants a seed.
Yeah. Or like a. Dude, you know what? Your iPhones can give you reminders on location.
Yeah, right. It knows you're at Whole. It knows you're at the grocery.
So just keep one in your car.
Right. That's the
and
key.
Have it remind you when you get to your grocery you frequent.
Boom.
And have it just set up as a recurring reminder.
Yeah.
I've had my iPhone for I got the 5 was the first one I got maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I still don't know 100% how to utilize all of the utilities that
nobody does. It's like your brain. We only use 8%, except Scarlett Johansson uses like
90%, or Bradley Cooper.
Oh yeah,
he's
110%. Yeah, he uses so much
or whatever.
He has to. He works so much. So
that dude. The thermos. Here's the thing about the thermos. The thermos. Here's something I didn't know. It was invented in 1904.
Probably for mine workers, construction workers, right at the, that's when they were building the cities.
Absolutely.
Keep your coffee, keeps your coffee hot.
It's a vacuum flask is what the actual thing is a vacuum flask adapted for lunchbox use. It was introduced in 1904.
Damn.
Yeah. Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension. You know what? We didn't get to this, so we'll end with it. What's something you learned recently?
What's something I
learned? We normally start off the episode with that, and we kind of got on such a good chat, such a good conversation. I forgot to ask.
Should I go negative or positive?
It's either or. You can do both if you got two lined up.
I feel like technology is slowly killing us all. It's making me learn more short, dumber things, but it's not actually making me learn more interesting things. Like everything's now so quick, and I was realizing yesterday as I was driving back from Palm Springs, I couldn't get the Bluetooth to work, even though the Bluetooth has been working in my car, and it's not talking. And I'm like, who made this fucking technology that never seems, and I was trying to get a speaker on it, and that was driving me crazy. And then I was, when I knew I was coming on this, I'm, what have I learned recently? There was a time I used to read books all the time. And in New York, I would read, you know, The New Yorker, I'd read Harper's, and I'd read The Times. And now I'm like, I don't even know the last time I honestly sat in a chair and read. And I don't know if it's because I've gotten busier, but I have a great book. I think I'm on page 12, and I've had it for 3 weeks. So if it tells you anything, it's like technology is making it really hard to really learn great facts. I feel like all the knowledge that I have now is like from like high school, you know, when I was reading.
Yes.
And so that's what I've learned.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting thing. Like even just doing this podcast, you know, for 2 years now, I've learned a lot,
right?
But it's also a lot of it is in one ear and out the other because I'm, you know, compiling facts every week and, right, and discussing them. Sometimes they'll come back up into conversation or like even a portion of the information when I'm when like a topic comes up at like a party or something like that. But it's also, I'll still need to look it up, and that's, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, we all just grab our phones.
It's awesome. I love it, but it's also, you can't, what was it? We were at this birthday party also. Somebody was, Heads Up 7-Up. Did you ever play that in grade school?
Yeah.
What was that play? What was the rules?
I don't think I can remember. I know I played it.
Did you play it, Aristotle? Do you remember what it is? Do you remember how to play it?
Heads Up was it like something where you...
What was the point of the game? Tell us what the point of it is.
You put your head down, right?
Yeah.
In the classroom, and you put your thumb up.
Okay.
And someone walks around, touches your thumb, and then you have to guess.
Correct.
Who it was.
Okay. That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
But and that's what I thought it was. But the friends who asked me were like, they were trying to figure it out. I told them, and I'm like, that's what it is. And then the other guy was like, let's just Google it. And my friend Bo was like, yeah, but let's resort to not do that.
Let's figure it out.
Because we have the world at our fingertips now.
I know.
So you really have no need to actually remember or learn
it's
anything.
It's ruining memory. Yeah, your recall, like you're asking me about TV shows. I watched a ton of TV shows. Yeah. It's just like I have so many bits floating around in my head that I, like, honestly, that part of my life maybe is just on its way out. And you're right. Our memories aren't trained to remember facts and details because it's so easily accessible.
Absolutely. It's like I'm gonna flub these, so if you know about technology or Aristotle, but it's like random access memory or like ROM or RAM. Like I think ROM is long-term memory that a computer remembers, and I think RAM
is short-term.
It's boot up.
Yeah.
So it's like we can remember short things because we look at it, but then it's gone.
It's gone.
And you forget it because your brain is so used to just having things right away.
And Shazam, like I used to know all these like classical rock songs. Dude. I was listening to a song yesterday on the radio. I'm like, and I was with my girlfriend. I'm like, who is this? She's like, I'm like, it's so familiar.
Yeah.
It's so familiar. It was like the Marshall Tucker Band. And okay. I would have known that.
Yeah.
I would have just been, it's Marshall Tucker.
Marshall Tucker.
And now I'm just like,
they got, what's that song? That, what's that
I'm
one song? The Marshall on. Tucker.
Yeah, they have a ton of good ones.
I'm looking them I up too.
Even, hold on.
Erase the Google is really what it is.
Here we go again. Now we're using technology.
Yeah.
I'm on Shazam. Can't you see? Can't you see?
Can't
you see? What's that woman? She's been doing. Great song.
Yeah. Rambling. Rambling Man. No.
I want a fact about
Ramblin'?
I want a fact
Ramblin'
about Marshall.
Man? Is that it?
Yeah.
Ramblin'
I think so.
Man.
Or that might have been Allman Brothers.
That's Bob Seger, I think. Gambling okay, Man. Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh, Ramblin' is Marshall Tucker. Give us a fact about Marshall Tucker Band.
Okay. Marshall Tucker Band. Is that Ramblin' Man? Is that Ramblin'?
I think it's Ramblin' Man. It's Ramblin'.
Ramblin'. You know what?
I could totally.
We're learning. This is a learning podcast, right?
I hope there's I hope there's no giant Marshall Tucker fans out there just going. Oh,
they're just someone's getting in a car accident right now.
Flip this off.
Here's the deal: we're going to learn something about which Ramblin' is. That's why we can play this because it's learning. It's a learning episode. This is, and I picked the live one. Fortunately, that has a 20-minute intro.
Yeah, he's going to talk about stuff now.
Yeah, get.
You can fast forward.
All right, guy.
Yeah, no, it's not Ramblin' Man.
No, that's not the song. No, that's not the one I wanted to hear. Fair enough.
Rambling
The original lineup of the Marshall Tucker Band, formed in 1972, included lead guitarist, vocalist, and primary songwriter Toy Caldwell from 1940. He died in 1993, apparently. He was born. Oh, a lot of these guys were. Yeah, they were born in the 40s, late 40s. The Marshall Tucker Band. The Tommy Caldwell was the bassist. He was killed in an automobile.
Yeah, they're all. I think they're all. They're all pretty much dead. But Ramblin' Man is the Allman Brothers.
Yes,
it's yeah.
There
I think,
we go.
I think,
that's
I,
the same
I,
band.
I think I had it. I think I had it originally, but then I.
Marshall Tucker Band. There's. I feel like they had another song. Can't you see? That's it. But I feel like there was another one that was huge. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of a different one. But
are any of them alive? Any of the Marshall Tucker Band? I guess it'd be hard to say. I think it was a band that had a lot of moving parts, people coming and going a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
where are they from?
Like, you look at... I mean, dude, look at the current members. Doug Gray is the only one that has that clickable link. But you look at the past members, and
there's like 45 members of the Marshall Tucker Band.
They cook... yeah, nobody else I recognize. Tommy Caldwell.
Toy Caldwell. It's a good name. Toy.
Tommy Caldwell, Full Moon Charlie. He was in the Charlie Daniels Band.
That's Tom, right.
The bass player. He was the original frontman. He was the bassist and original frontman for the Marshall Tucker Band between 1973 and 1980. He died from injuries suffered in a Jeep crash. Died at 30 years old, dude.
I know. And they always look so much older than we do now,
isn't
don't
that
they?
A
like,
thing?
That guy looks like he's 45. He's like
weird?
He was 30.
Dude, like,
you know?
Seriously.
Jim Morrison.
Was
Jim Morrison was 27,
dude.
But you look at pictures, you're like, is Jim Morrison 27?
Like, dude,
there's no,
years
was
old.
That a lie? I don't know. Some of these guys.
You look at all of those people.
Yeah.
Like James
Janis
Dean.
Joplin looked like she was in her 40s.
Yeah.
She died at 27. Well, maybe she lived a little rough. But.
I mean, you look at even like high school movies that took place in the, you know, where kids were in their high school. Now, granted, in the 80s and in the 70s, they were using 26-year-olds to play high schoolers.
Yeah.
But they still look older than 26.
Everybody, yes.
Everybody looks
look
older.
Like just out of college.
And then now you look at 25-year-olds. You look at 26-year-olds. You look at Danny Zuko in Greece.
Yeah.
And I think he was like 26. He may have been 30 or whatever, John Travolta. And he still looked older than Zac Efron looks right now.
Yeah, but it's because adolescence is being extended. You know, puberty is extending now.
Yeah. Diets,
genetically.
Suppose,
yeah.
So I guess, I mean, attribute... health and just wellness and actors taking more care of themselves.
I think they're taking more care
they
of
did
themselves.
Back in the, but yeah, you look at like, you look at some of those 27-year-olds, 30-year-olds in those movies and they just look so
old.
Like, they just look old.
Yeah, they do.
It's like, what? He's not younger than I am right now.
Yeah. And then the Amy Winehouse documentary,
yeah.
she died at 27.
Yeah.
Like, she seemed like she was around for a lot longer than that, but,
yeah.
You know, that's really good, by the way.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Chris Murray, ladies and gentlemen, you can see him. It'll be this coming weekend, October 23rd, in Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. Dimension? Dimension?
Yeah, Dimension.
The Ghost Dimension.
Go see it in 3D IMAX for the real experience.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a wild ride. Really funny. I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And it's got the perfect weekend for a horror movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's starting to get in that horror.
I like it, yeah.
That horror,
everybody's,
you know,
it's, everybody's
feeling. And if you haven't seen any of them, go see one or go see three, and
then
you can pretty much pick right up. Or you can watch it as a one-off.
Is there a through line?
There is a through line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's sort of this mythology to the whole series, which they've been true to, and this is sort of the final installment. They're not going to make another Paranormal Activity, so this answers a lot of lingering.
Unless this makes a ton of money,
Well, we'll see. So it answers a lot of questions that a lot of fans might have.
Okay.
You finally get to see Toby, who is sort of the thing that's been haunting all of the franchise, and so there's a lot of secrets revealed, and it's just a big. Fun, scary ride.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
What are you excited about in the near future, aside from Paranormal Activity? What do you got coming up? Anything else that you know of?
I have nothing that I know of.
I like it.
But I'm sure there's things I don't know of that are coming up, like something outside the door.
Where can they find you on the internet? Are you on the Twitter?
Yeah,
or
I'm Instagram. Money Makes Me Funny. You can take that however you want.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Chris Murray. I don't tweet, but I might soon. And then you can just come hang out at my house if you want.
Absolutely. Where do you live?
I'm in Silver Lake right now.
Speak loudly into my collar.
But I move around a lot, so okay. Good luck.
Fair enough.
I'm not on the Stars map yet.
Uh-oh.
But I might.
We'll get you on there. This podcast will get you on there for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to wake up and see paranormal fans outside my window. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
That'd be awesome. Ghost horses.
Dressed as jockeys.
Dressed as ghost jockeys.
Jockeys.
Really tiny ghosts.
Yeah.
With like weird colorful patterns.
That's a great
patterns.
Idea for parents with small kids. Ghost jockey. You know, like a
like
freaky.
Like E.T. when E.T. was a ghost.
Freaky ghost jockey. Yeah. Like, here's my 4-year-old.
Put him on your dog, a ghost dog.
Yeah, on a ghost dog. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having
me. Thanks for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, Paranormal Activity, the ghosts I mentioned out in IMAX 3D, real 3D, and all that. Go see those movies either, or go see it twice. Go see it in regular D and 3D. See it in IMAX. Check it out this weekend. Thanks, Chris, for joining us. You can continue following us on Twitter, TWL Podcast. Like us on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle or Dan. You can send us an email, todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Dan at Osteoferocious. You can follow me at My Name is Razzle 2. Continue checking this out. Check out buy Dan's book about Star Wars coming out. I think it's out right now. Aristotle's got a podcast. We mentioned it before. It's The Meltdown, right? Meltdown. The Meltcast. Check it out. Follow him, Aristakos. And continue sending us fun facts through the email or liking us or through Twitter, etc. And thanks again for giving us reviews and telling all your friends about us. Thank you, guys. And as always, if the jockey's not riding it, it's not a ghost horse.
Yeah, it's going to be a... I have no response to that, but I like that.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you guys
so much. Thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.